Hi guys, welcome back to All the Buzz. I'm being joined by the dating expert of all dating experts, and I feel like a true businesswoman when it comes to making dating and love, you know, your career path, and that is Lindsay Metzler. Hi.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I know, me too. This is so fun for me. I feel like I never get to see you in the flesh.
I know. We're like always emailing, we're always talking, but we never get to sit down, so this is really nice.
I know, it is really nice, and for those who would definitely not know, you and I went to the same elementary school.
Yes. Well, years. High school.
Or were you not there all?
No, I only got there for eighth grade.
I didn't know that.
No, but I like that you didn't know that. That means I didn't feel like a new kid, you know?
You didn't at all, but your sister.
My
did
sister
she?
Came from, she switched over in like sixth grade, maybe a little earlier. No, maybe she's, maybe like third grade. So my sister was there basically the whole time. And yeah. Then I came from Spence in high school.
I did not realize that. Yeah. Also, so rare, I feel like, for a girl to jump from one girl's school to another girl's school. Like, what were you thinking?
I know. No, it is really crazy. I think, so at Spence, we had a very like tumultuous grade situation with a lot of mean girl stuff. And it would have made sense that I went to a co-ed place after that. But because my sister was at Hewitt, I was like, I just got to go where my sister is. And so that's what made me make the change. But I think also like Hewitt is just a nice inclusive environment, whereas Spence at the time, just that grade, I'm not going to say as a whole, but our grade was very clicky and scary.
Right. And your grade, from like my memory, I think you're what, 4 years older than me? Are you 34?
No, I'm 33.
You're 33, 3 years
old. So maybe
old.
3 years.
Yeah, yeah, three to four. I feel like your grade was always really nice, but like wild.
Yeah. My grade everywhere somehow was wild. I think that's because we're like the year of the horse, whatever that means with Chinese astrology. So like we're just a little crazy.
So funny, but crazy makes everything more fun. I think it's really amazing that you've been able to turn your podcast into a business. And on All the Buzz, we always try to bring people on who are entrepreneurial and can really inspire people to go off on their own, because there's so many people today who literally wish of doing and dream of doing what you have done. And to go back, and you've talked about your story obviously so much because you're an amazing guest on so many podcasts, but at what point did you realize that you wanted to A, get into the podcast space, but B, also just focused all of your platforms on dating and dating advice?
Yeah, it's so interesting because I never thought about it as an option. At the time, the podcasts 7 years ago were like news and crime podcasts. It wasn't a lot of dating. It wasn't any dating, really. There was like one sex podcast maybe. And Dan Savage, I don't know if you know him, had like a love cast talking about love. And that was really it for whatever was out there. And I was doing social media for brands, so I already kind of knew what people wanted to see and all of that. And then I got dumped on my 27th birthday, and I was like, oh no, like this sucks. And I thought that I had been a dating expert up until that point, because my friends would go to me for texting advice, dating advice, but clearly I was like, I know nothing.
Yeah.
And dating in New York is really hard. So I was like, what if I just talk to my friends about it and released it as a podcast, whatever that is, you know? I still didn't really know. And I did, and I didn't even know how people would find it to listen to it at that point. But I remember I named names of people I was going out with at the time. And one of the guys called me, and he was like, keep my name out of your mouth. And I was like, oh my God, people listen to this. Yeah. That was my takeaway. I was like, this is so fun.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of did then sort of like the SFK, I don't know, approach, like being so authentic to dating even before. Like, she never mentioned people's names, but the fact that you did was like,
no,
a lot of... No, because
I was so juvenile about the whole thing. Funny. I had no idea what to do on a podcast. Like, I didn't know that you couldn't just talk to your friends like you normally would.
Right.
I didn't know you had to censor yourself, and that took me a while to figure out.
I think I remember looking back, like, you must have posted your first couple of episodes to your Facebook page.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was sort of like an orangey lit room. It must have been your apartment at the time. Like, I remember one of your first episodes. I'm like, oh, because we went to the same school together, like, I'm going to listen to your podcast. And I really did enjoy it from day one.
Thank you.
You went to BU.
Yes.
What was your major?
I majored in communications, which was perfect for podcasting. And I actually, so I was in the communication school and I majored in film and television.
Okay.
So I knew editing, like I knew how to produce.
Right.
Which was really the first step that I needed to get the podcast out. And I didn't do a great job, but I knew how to, you know, put some words together and audio together and get it out there.
And what was your very first job outside of college?
My very first job was a production assistant on the set of a show called Hustling the House, which was like a poker show on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
I really actually wanted to be in film initially. I wanted to be a screenwriter, and I was just told that you have to take a PA job to start and just work your way up, you know, whatever you want to do in film, you got to start as a PA because you have to learn. So I did that, and it was actually a really cool job looking back. Like, they put me up in a hotel in Atlantic City, and I got to order room service, chicken fingers. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is what's up. What was your first job?
I was an editor at the Daily Front Row, which is the Fashion Week magazine. And I'd interned for them when I was 16 at Hewitt. Then I freelanced for them throughout college and had other internships like at Rachel Zoe and Oprah Magazine, whatever. Uh-huh. And then I became an editor when I graduated. And that was like my first and only real full-time 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Which was really like 9 to 11 p.m. most nights.
Right, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah, fashion never sleeps.
Never. And especially during Fashion Week. People are always now to me, like when they see me at shows, they're like, oh, like, are you so exhausted? This must be so stressful for you. I'm like, Fashion Week is no longer stressful for me. My days in my early 20s, that was not normal.
Right.
But now it's just fun. Mm-hmm. So I don't miss those days, to be honest with you, like at all.
But you put in the work so that you wouldn't have to.
Exactly. And I feel like a lot of women, guys, whatever, like you and me who eventually go off and do something of our own, there's like this aha moment where something propels you to be like, I'm never going to work for somebody.
Yeah.
What was that for you?
You can never.
Go back to that aha moment.
Yeah. What was that aha moment for you?
That aha moment for me, honestly, so I had mentioned I was doing social media before, and I had a social media consulting company where I had a few different clients, and I was basically promoting, like, I was trying to grow their followings. And then all of a sudden, when I launched the podcast and everything just felt so right, I was like, why am I still? And I didn't really stop doing that until like 2 years in, maybe a year in, because I wanted to have success with the podcast.
Right.
But I was like, why am I still trying to grow other people's brands? Like, We Met at Acme is now what I want to breathe and feel, you know? And so I'd always had that entrepreneurial spirit in me because my dad started his own company. And so I think very early on, after I had had some early social media success, that's when I decided to do the consulting on my own. I actually opened up like my own office within a WeWork, and that was really cool. And then once the podcast hit, I was like, it was great doing the social media, but now I want to do this something for myself.
Yeah.
Full time and like dedicate myself to that. And so it was scary because you have to really implement your own schedule. Like, otherwise you don't do stuff. And so I really mapped out like what I'd be doing every morning. You know, I gave myself a 9-to-5 because otherwise no one will.
Right. And when you were doing your social media consulting, Erin Leachy, who was one of our cover stars in The Real Housewives of New York, she was one of your clients.
She was one of my clients. That's so funny. How do you remember that?
I listened to her on your podcast.
Yes. Yeah. She was one of my clients for her real estate and home design homegirl. And we had so much fun together. And it's so crazy, like, the world, because, you know, now she's a Real Housewife of New York.
Yeah.
And I have this podcast, and we had the opportunity to work together again in a funny, different capacity. And we used to, like, really shoot the shit and go to, you know, Soho House and have these lunches and just talk so candidly about everything. And it's really fun to see her out there, like, thriving.
And it's also just a lesson to, like, always be nice. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not happy with your work or whatever, like, don't burn a bridge with anybody.
Never burn a bridge, especially with people behind the scenes, like the assistants, the coordinators, everyone helping.
Yeah.
These people are hustlers, and they might like own your company one day.
Totally. So people ask me too, they're like, with Spotlight, they're like, how do you have all these, you know, advertisers in the magazine? I'm like, these are relationships that I've been cultivating since I was interning, and we have grown together, and now these people are in the decision making power seats, and like, we're helping each other. So that's a really like fun though example for you.
Totally.
With Erin. Very, very funny. Okay, so you go and it's time to build We Met at Acme, building you as a brand. what does a typical day, and I know you just had a little boy, congratulations.
Thank you.
But what does a typical day look like for you now as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, well, I guess I can just go through today, for example.
Okay.
So I wake up with the sound of my son, which is usually at like 6:48.
Is that earlier than when you would normally wake up before?
Oh,
or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I used to wake up at like maybe earliest right before 8.
Okay.
Like some days I wouldn't wake up until like 8:45.
Yeah.
And like really live on the edge. but I wake up with my son. We do his morning routine. I feed him. And then we play, and then I feed him. Like this morning, I fed him solids again. So we had some cream of wheat and some guava, which was a little like sour for his liking. And then I put him down for a nap, and our nanny comes. I'm so grateful, by the way, for childcare. And I just did like a whole episode on this because it really takes a village. It
like
really,
daily
really
childcare.
Does. We have Monday through Friday.
Okay, good.
yeah.
My dreams, my goals.
yeah. So it's really great. But, you know, every week is different. And then I left to come here and record this fun podcast with you.
Yes.
And then after this, I'm going into the studio, which to record my podcast. And then I'm actually crashing my son's. He has like a music class. So I'm going to show up and say hi and play with them a little bit. And then I'm going back home to write my Substack, which I just started doing. And by the way, thanks to you, I started getting into writing again, too. Because of my column in Spotlight, I was like, wait, I really enjoy this. It's so fun. Like, I love these little quick page, you know, pages of writing. And then I'm going to prepare the episode for this week, which is with Stassi Schroeder, who I'm a huge fan of. Love her. She just came out with a book. And then I take him back from my nanny. We do a bath time. We do the feed. And we get ready for bed and we go to bed. So that's like a typical day for me right now, just trying to get it all in. Every day is different, as you know, as an entrepreneur. Yeah. Like, I'm doing these street interviews, which sometimes I'll do in Madison Square Park, which are really fun. It's hard. It's like you have to make concessions for, like, the lighting. Every day is different, but it's worth it working for yourself. I really love it.
I'm also so happy to hear that about Spotlight because, A, you're so good at writing. Like, when I read your pages, A, I never have to, like, edit anything, which is so rare.
Really nice.
So, seriously. And then, B, like, it really, you know, sounds like you. Like, I'm reading, I'm like, wow, like, I can imagine Lindsay saying all these things. Like, you're so good at getting your thoughts
Thank you. Honestly, it's page. It's been so fun. And, like, I love, you know, I love my listicles.
Yes, I love the listicles. I love that. I feel like, wow, like, you have a very busy day and managing being a mom, running your own business. I got married in March and we want children. And I feel like, I don't know if you felt like this, like when I think about like, oh, like when is going to be the right time? Like it's never going to be the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little scary because I feel like, I don't know, I want to be so involved when we have a child, but like
right.
I also need to run my business.
And
so
you know what? You can do both.
Yeah.
I will quote Stassi that you can't have it all
right
at the same time, but you can do it all at different times. And like, that's, you know, you will make it work. And you luckily, you know, working for yourself, it's the best job to have when you're a mom.
It's true.
It really is, because, you know, there's so many, plenty of jobs where you're in an office and you can't cut out and go, you know, surprise your son or daughter at music class. It's tough.
Yeah.
But I will say, I was so happy for you finding your husband when I first saw the first picture of you guys. I knew, I was like, this is it. This is end game for sure. Aww. I just could tell. And I remember, cause like we had definitely DM'd before in your single days.
Yes,
like
I asked you for advice.
Totally. And I just knew, like, first of all, because you didn't ask me anything once
or
you
anyone,
met him, because you didn't need to,
did not
because
need to.
He was the one. And like, it's really so special. And I really think if anyone's listening out there and is like, I'm never going to find my person, there is, this is such a silly phrase. Like, this reminds me of Disney, but there's a lid for every pot.
I say it all
there
time.
Really is.
And today's our 6-month wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Which is crazy. It is true. Like, it was so easy with him. And like, when we met, there was definitely a gap of time before we started dating because of COVID and so many things going on. It was like the universe, I feel like, tries to test you sometimes.
Totally.
I really believe, especially for some reason in New York, that a man does not take a woman seriously until you are like 27, 28. So you running around thinking you're going to find your husband at 24, 25, when naturally, like, you are a little immature. You're probably wearing extra sexy clothing. Like, you're living a life that you don't even realize is suggestive of a good time, not a long time. I just look back and, like, there is no way that I give off the vibes that I was ready. And I wasn't ready.
Totally.
But I know when I met Nick, like, I was in such a I didn't give a fuck era. Like, I had not dated anyone in a year because of the pandemic. And I was like, whoever is potentially going to give me this shitty virus better be a 10. And for me, he was a 10 for me.
Yeah. But also, you were giving off what you possessed at that time, which was so much respect for yourself. Yeah. You know,
there's some sirens in the background. Obviously, we are in New York and not in a totally soundproof environment, but it is okay.
You know, it's a perfect, it's like a Sex in the City reminder.
Yes.
That, you know, here we are in a place with noise.
We are. But I do think that if you have the right person too, like, I've been able to focus on my career so much more because I'm not, like, anxious, or I never was anxious.
You're not thinking about, you know, oh, and I also have to go on this dating app. No, it's like, I'm going to focus 100% on building my empire. And at night I get to go home to this, like, wonderful man.
Yep.
And my point before was just, like, I really do think that Nick saw how much respect you had for yourself and for your business and, you know, just everything that you were doing. And that is so sexy. And when we're in our 20s, like, as you mentioned, we have no idea what we're doing. So why do we deserve to find a guy who knows what they're like? You know what I mean? It's like, it's really finding your equal, but you have to grow yourself to that point.
Totally. And I think also to just not assume that every guy you meet along the way is going to be the one. I think that's something you don't really realize as you're dating. Like, 99.9 of these relationships are clearly not going to work out.
Yep.
And for me, I was so grateful that I never kind of, like, let any of those situationships turn into a relationship because none of them were right.
Right.
And for me, it was such a big deal introducing Nick to my parents because they'd never met someone before, you know, like, I never brought a guy home like that. So it was, like, looking back, like, a crazy life transition, you know, for all of us. And it was the best thing ever.
And they probably knew right away. I mean, that's like...
They didn't, like, believe me. Like, I think because I've always complained about every guy.
Right.
They're like, she's going to eventually find something that she's just, like, icked out about.
Uh-huh.
But then when they... It was also, again, weird because of COVID and we couldn't, like, go to my mom's house. It was super strange. And Nick says my family's COVID is very different than, like, the world's COVID, which was true. They were extra careful.
Yeah.
But there was, like, a moment where they were like, this is it. But it wasn't as instant as, like, everybody else.
Interesting.
His mom knew immediately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She got an Instagram page that day that we posted our first.
Just so she could see?
Yep. She heard there was a photo, and she was like, who is this girl?
That's so cute.
And they had, like, a family FaceTime, him, his sisters, his mom.
Oh.
And that, I mean, it happened all pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
When you know, you know.
But he laughs because Nick always says, and he's so excited that you're coming on, because he was like, there's nothing that Sydney loves more than talking about dating.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Like, I love getting into the nitty gritty of just the dating scene. And I've noticed, and I want to know what you think, just, like, walking around even downtown New York City, I feel like there's not a lot of dating going on. Like, I don't see people going out on as many dates. I don't see as many single men above the age of, like, 24. Like, I feel like it's a very young person's dating culture right now.
Yes.
And I would imagine it's hard for women who are more my age and your age to meet single guys. And I don't know if it's because of the economy and the guys can't afford to live here, but, like, do you see a shift?
I definitely see a shift. I think that people are just so fed up with the dating apps, and I imagine that contributes to the lack of dates that you're seeing. People are just over it, you know, and people want to meet organically. And, like, what's great about We Met at Acme is we do these events. Like, we did a walk club this weekend, and people were literally just walking and talking casually. And I think there's something to, like, taking the pressure off that people are really needing right now. But I agree with you. I haven't seen people on a date in a long time. I actually saw a couple on a date this summer. I happened to be, like, seated next to them at a restaurant, and we were observing them.
Yeah.
But it's been a while.
It's sad, no?
Yeah, really sad.
I don't know what needs to happen to get people to date more?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's really hard because all the dating apps are like very monopolized. Like there's only like three.
Yeah.
And no one's on any others.
Lost Club's gone, right? Or
I actually don't know.
Okay.
I'm not plugged into that particular one and the status, but it's really tough. It's really tough out there and someone needs to fix it.
Would you be the one to fix it? Would you ever launch your own dating app?
I don't know that I would launch my own dating app, but I think the whole like point of it is that someone needs to do it in person. Like we need to just be better at talking in person and socializing in person again. And yeah, that's what's been lost.
Do you hear as many people meeting organically at a bar?
I don't, because everyone's face is in their phone,
right,
or like they're in a group setting, you know, with, and they're not talking. I think there's a few people.
The online dating market revenue reached $2.4 billion in 2022. So do you think that dating apps can be as successful for people today?
I do, but you have to know how to use them. And I think, you know, we've been talking about how it's so much more important to meet in person. The dating app's point of existence is to get you to in person. If you're right, using the dating app to go back and forth for a week talking about nonsense, like you're using it wrong. You have to get to in person after a few exchanges. Like you got to get face to face. And that's the best way to use the dating apps, in my opinion. Like a few exchanges and then like, yeah, I'm free, you know, next Wednesday, let's lock it in, here's my number.
But don't you also think it's their mission to not make your relationship work out so that you can continuously be on the app more? And
well, it's funny, Hinge's tagline is designed to be deleted,
right? That's true.
And as controversial as that probably was for their advertisers, it's a good, and investors, it's really smart, because you know that just shows that their purpose is to get you married, essentially.
Yeah. So what is your advice for those who are still using the dating apps and to make them go beyond just a date or a hookup? Or,
well, I think first of all, you need to approach the dating apps like, do you remember when we were all on Facebook and we, like, our friend would go to the bathroom and we'd take her Facebook account and write like weird statuses and all this stuff and like mess around? That's how you have to act on the dating apps. You have to act like you're just having a fun, silly time with it and not taking it seriously. And right, I know that sounds easier said than done, but like saying weird stuff, like what was your favorite Jamba Juice flavor, as opposed to like, how was your day? Like, do you have a nice weekend? What'd you get up to this weekend? Like, stop saying the same shit over and over again and start to say things that are weird and different and fun. And that's going to make people intrigued by you and want to meet you as soon as possible. And then meet them and then follow the rules, obviously.
Obviously. And the rules work. Lindsay's rules work. There has been some weird energy in the air. I don't know if you have felt this or noticed this. There are so many cheating scandals going on, divorces, separations. Every moment I pick up my phone, Page Six, Daily Mail, it's like somebody is doing something not good.
I'm getting like a subliminal message of who you're talking about, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, it's sad. Mm-hmm. But I want to bring up a couple of people who are very public, and so it's fine for us to talk about.
Okay, great.
I want to know what your thoughts are on the J-Lo and Ben Affleck breakup and what J-Lo's future now looks like.
Oh, my good friend Jennifer. I am so deeply sad for her because I know that she really wanted it to work so badly. But if she were my friend, I would give her a little spanking and say, honey, this is why we don't get back together with our ex.
Yes.
That you don't go back. If you throw out a pizza, you don't go back into the trash and change your mind and say, wait, I actually really wanted that one slice that I threw out. You threw it out, honey. You need to move on. So we don't get back together with our ex. I think moving forward, I would tell her, listen, Jen, you need someone stable. You don't need another actor. You don't need someone with, you know, addiction. You need someone who works in finance, has a 9-to-5 job, goes home every day, you know, stable, happy, wellness, whatever. That's who you need.
It's honestly sad because I actually thought that A-Rod was the perfect match for her.
Oh, no, I knew it wasn't.
You knew.
He's a cheater.
That's the problem. Like, I'm talking about just, like, the fact they're both very much into the limelight. And
well, you have to think about these people and their professions. Like, I'm not going to use A-Rod as an example because not all baseball players are narcissists, obviously. Yeah. That's different. But most actors are very into themselves,
right.
You know, and they're all about me, me, me. And so if you're an actor and you want to succeed in a relationship, usually you should date a normie, in my opinion. Two actors can work, but it's rare.
But I just don't understand why she wants to continuously get married. Like, you get to a certain age, a certain point of your life where you've done that so many times. Wouldn't there just be less pressure on her to just have like a partnership and a companion versus a marriage?
That I actually disagree with.
Really?
I think she loves love, you know?
She loves
she's
love.
Like
she's
a
like
rom-com
addicted.
Girl, and I'm a rom-com girl.
Same.
And like, I think that like you should have the whole nine, you know? She's just choosing the wrong guy.
Something's off. I love her. She's my celebrity.
Her picker is off.
Right.
Her picker's off.
Okay. Next one. Do you think that Gigi Hadid and Bradley Cooper will end up getting married?
I don't know. When they first started dating, I was into it because, you know, I'm into astrology. Wait, you're
Aquarius.
Aquarius. Okay.
My husband and I are both Aquarius.
I knew it was close to like the fall.
Yeah.
Love Aquarians.
Aquarius.
How did he know you were an Aquarius?
It said it on my birthday. Yeah. Our birthdays are 2 days apart. So.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing. So, Gigi Hadid, Bradley Cooper, when they first started dating, I was like, this is great. I love this because Bradley's a Capricorn and Gigi's a Taurus.
Right.
Very similar energy, like just like, you know, compatible. And as they've got, and I liked that she was with him because like Zayn seemed like young and like different and, you know, not mature.
Yeah.
Like Bradley.
Bradley's a man.
Mm-hmm, he's a man. But I don't know the longevity. I have to be honest. I don't know. Because they haven't given us much. So I don't know anything about their relationship.
Yeah.
I do love that they're both parents of a singular child.
Are you okay with the age difference?
Totally fine. I have no age difference issues. And I think people need to get over that.
Totally.
People are so obsessed with people dating people with an age difference. And it's like, guess what? They're happy.
Yeah.
And you're not. So, you know, like people that focus on that, unless of course it's like, you know,
traumatic.
Illegal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah. And I think it's more about like the place in life that you are. Like
totally.
My husband and I are 13 years apart, but we're in the same place of
exactly.
life. I could have never been with anyone younger than him. There's no way.
There are some women who are very immature who should be younger.
Totally.
Just mentally just young. And there are some women that are very beyond their years who should date older and vice versa with men.
If a woman is not getting asked out by a guy on an app, should they take the initiative and ask him?
I don't think they should. However, I think that they should tee him up in order to do so. I think a gentle, funny call out is always a good idea. For example, I have a couple whose wedding I went to 2 years ago, and they met on one of the dating apps, and they were talking back and forth. And he wasn't asking her out. And she was like, what's up with this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's a confident girl like many of us. And she was like, this is weird. And so she said to him, she's like, by the way, so you're on this app to make friends? ? And he was like, oh, like, no. Like, are you free next week or something? You know, he immediately got the hint. And now they're married.
See? So it just really depends.
It just depends. But like you can do a gentle call out. A man does not speak to you, period, if he's not interested in you.
Yes, but I also think there are certain men
but
who are narcissistic on an app.
On an app, it's more complicated.
Right.
But like if a man is speaking to you, especially in person, he's interested in you.
I agree with that.
Or text you.
But I don't think the woman should initiate, and maybe it sounds sexist. I don't think the woman should initiate, like you said, like the dates.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're dying to be the one to ask them out, like I'm not going to tell you no, but then let them take it from there.
Right.
Do it once and never again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the long game. I feel like you can't lead by your impulses, and you need to think about like what, you know, is going to be the best, not strategy because it's not a strategy, but like what's the best plan to make someone really feel like they're going to get to know the authentic you down the line. And
totally.
I feel like if you start giving guys all of the help at the beginning, they're never gonna put the effort
in.
That
sets the tone.
It does
set
the tone. Exactly. Lindsay, what is next for you? I feel like you're always up to some really exciting stuff. What can people expect from you?
I'm actually in the middle of kind of a rebrand. Oh. So still We Met at Acme, but expanding to not just dating and relationships, but marriage and dating post having kids, because everyone's growing with the podcast, like yourself. You know, you're married. You're mentioning that eventually, you know, maybe your next step is kids soon. And I think we need to talk about how having kids affects your relationships and dating, because you never stop dating once you're married. You still date.
Yeah.
But once you're married, it's a little different. Once you have kids, it's even harder. And how do we do that? So talking about all of it, all encompassing, that's the next step.
That's so important. I do feel like it's so weird. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I swear to you, I get this question every day. And we've been married 6 months. And I think it's also just the nature of, you know, you're more public on Instagram, whatever. Everyone's like, how's married life? Mm-hmm. And I'm being so honest with you. Our married life feels the same as there's before. No, there's
the
no
thing
difference.
The only changes your marriage is kids.
And that's what I always say will probably be it. But I think it's such like a weird question. And the question comes from a lot of married people.
Right.
And I'm like, if you're going into your wedding thinking like life's going to change, like I was so happy when our wedding was over because we got back. That was a big one. We got back to just us. And that's what we do best is literally just being with each other, mm-hmm. and like doing our day to day life. And it's just been so nice that it's not a big change. There's so many parts of life that are so huge and changing and drastic. But like, I feel like your relationship, when you get married, it should be just an extension.
It should be just an extension. And yeah. like, there are some people who I've heard say, you know, it solidifies things. Like if there were issues before, or like they were worried the person was going to leave them, or maybe they just had anxiety about, you know, whatever, that felt solidified for them. But I think for most people, especially in healthy relationships, it just feels like, okay, we signed a piece of paper. This is still my favorite person, my best friend that I'm just hanging out with.
It's a party. If you're getting, you know, having a wedding, it's a party.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Exactly.
But I cannot wait to like listen and, you know, all of your polls. What are you doing with those polls? Are you going to write a book?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
You should. She's an amazing writer. Lindsay, where can everyone follow you if they don't
everyone
already?
Everyone can follow me on Instagram at We Met at Acme, or my personal Linz Metz, or my baby Instagram now, We Met at Baby. You can read me in Spotlight Magazine always. And we're also on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, the podcast apps, and all of that.
Amazing. Thanks.